Luke chapter 11 tonight. Luke chapter 11. Try not to keep you too long. Let's stand tonight if you're able in reverence to God's word. Would you please? I want to look at this tonight. We've been talking about for several messages now the subject, Lord, teach us to pray. And this has been our text verse. We've been in different places in the Bible. But tonight we're going to look at the context of the text verse. The Bible said, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. I read that verse just now and was reminded of a lady that I pastored in Wise. She had her son in the truck with her. They were going to town. And I'm going to ask a blessing over the food, and right in the middle of the food, that asking the blessing, she sneezed. And this little boy said to his mama, said, Mama, you know the Bible said pray without sneezing. Amen. Well, it's close, amen. At least they're listening, right, Sister Jane? Amen. They may not get it exactly right, but they are listening. The Bible said here in verse 2, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sin, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you have a friend, shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And he said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? If correctly read, that's the first 13 verses in Luke chapter 11. You can be seated. Pray with me, please. Father, I thank you tonight for the privilege, Lord, just to come together a little while around the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the missionaries, our Father, that are willing to go into all the world. Lord, everybody can't go. Some are part of the sending. Some are part, Lord, of the going. But Lord, it's all an important part of getting the gospel out in these days. Lord, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that's still changing lives. Lord, still changing people's eternal destiny. I thank you, Lord, for this Bible and for the privilege to read it tonight and share from it. And I pray, God, you'd encourage us, challenge us, our Lord, concerning our prayer lives. I pray, Lord, that you would make us more like your Son, and God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. There's a verse over in the in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews that says, Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. If you're paying attention, in America, we need help. And the only thing that's going to help us is going to be the grace of God. Amen. And the mercy of God. I want to bring a message tonight out of this text here entitled, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. And I don't know what part that might be in the series, but it's still that same thought. And I want to look at the throne of grace tonight and just give you several thoughts. First of all, tonight, I want to talk about the approach to the throne of grace. The Bible said here, and he said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I'm quoting another place where I learned it, in earth as it is in heaven. It's not worded exactly the same, but it means the same here in Luke chapter number 11. We'll look at several things real quickly. There needs to be a place to approach. I got that out of verse number 1. A place to approach the throne of grace. The Bible said, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place. I believe the disciples that walked with God, that walked with the Lord Jesus, they knew that he had a place that he frequented that he would go to and pray and talk to the Lord. There needs to be a place, a certain place, to approach the throne of grace. Now, we know that, beloved, you don't make a god out of the place, but it's talking about being regular. It's talking about being in the spirit of prayer and in the habit of prayer. And Jesus had that in his life. And we know we can talk to God anywhere that we are, and we should. And to pray without ceasing would mean you'd have to pray from wherever you are. But here there's a certain place, and I believe that's something that we need in our lives as we ask the Lord to teach us to pray. And then there's the person that we approach, and that is our Father. Listen tonight. I believe tonight that we should never approach our Father in a nonchalant way, that we ought to approach him realizing what it cost, that we can approach him, realizing tonight that we have the righteousness of Christ all because of Calvary, and that it was at Calvary that he tore the veil and from top to bottom he rent it in twain and gave us access into the holiest of all. So the person we're approaching is our Father. I don't know about you tonight, but that ought to melt our hearts, that the likes of you and the likes of me can say to him, our Father. Amen. And I'm telling you, God reached down and saved a sinner and made me one of his children. Someone said years ago, and it said the Son of God became the son of men, the son of man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. And now you and I are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ and welcome in the throne room of God. And beloved, that's a blessing tonight. The person we approach is our Father. I want you to look at the praise in the approach. I believe praise is comely. And listen, I don't believe we should just praise God in public, though I'm not against that, and the Bible's not against that. But I believe as we pray, listen, if you want to get in the spirit of prayer real quick, don't go in asking right off the bat. Just go in thanking him. Amen. Just go in thanking him that you are one of his children. Thanking him you've got something to wear. Thanking him you've got something to eat. Thanking him for your health. Thanking him for your family. Thanking him for the Bible. There's a lot of people, beloved, around this world give anything to have an entire copy of the Word of God. You just go in thanking him a little bit and praising him for what he's already done. I will say this tonight. I believe that's an area we're behind in, is praising him. Amen. And I believe, listen, we're going to get caught up. Amen. After we get caught up. Amen. You'll get that after a while. We'll get caught up on our praise. Amen. And we'll praise him in a more perfect way. But hallowed be thy name. And then he said, we're looking at the purpose of the approach. Why? Why do we need to approach the throne of God? I believe that God's will might be done. Listen, prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, but prayer is to get God's will done in the earth. Amen? And that's what prayer is about. And so that's the purpose of approaching the throne of God. I read this. I thought I'd share it with you. Come out of the Daily Bread. While crossing the Atlantic on an ocean liner, F.B. Meyer was asked to address the first-class passengers. At the captain's request, he spoke on answered prayer. An agnostic who was present at the service was asked by his friends, "What did you think of Dr. Meyer's sermon?" He answered, "I didn't believe a word of it." That afternoon, Meyer went to speak to the steerage passengers. Many of the listeners at his morning address went along, including the agnostic, who claimed he just wanted to hear what the babbler had to say. Before starting for the service, the agnostic put two oranges in his pocket. On his way, he passed by an elderly woman sitting in her deck chair, fast asleep. Her hands were open. And he said here, in the spirit of fun, the agnostic put the two oranges in her outstretched palms. After the meeting, he saw the old lady happily eating one of the oranges. He said, "You seem to be enjoying that orange." He remarked with a smile, "Yes, sir," she replied. "My father is very good to me." "Your father?" He said, "Surely your father can't be still be alive." "Praise God," she replied. "He's very much alive." "What do you mean?" pressed the agnostic. She explained, "I tell you, sir, I have been seasick for days, and I was asking God somehow to send me an orange. I suppose I fell asleep while I was praying. When I awoke, I found he had not only sent me one orange, but two." The agnostic was speechless. Later, he was converted to Christ. Yes, praying in God's will does get an answer. Amen. How about that? You say, "Preacher, surely that didn't happen." Why do you have trouble believing something like that? Amen. I can remember Harry Robinson saying years ago that we need to pray specifically. And he said, sometimes we need to be praying about something that nobody else knows we're praying about. That way we know when God answers the prayer, he heard us pray. Amen. Brother Howard got to praying for a long-handled, pointed shovel. He didn't want a square pointed shovel. He wanted one with the round point on it. And he wanted a long handled shovel. He said he was going down the road. He'd been praying about that. He said, "God," he just had an intimate relationship with God. And he said, there it laid on the yellow line. He said, on the yellow line, that way it's not run over, the handle's not broke out of it. He said it was brand new. He said, normally, it's something like that, you'd try to find the owner. But he said, how are you going to do that? And after all, God had answered my prayer, amen? And just give him a shovel, amen? You say, "Preachy, I know to pray about little things." Well, if you pray about little things, you won't have any problem praying about the big things when they come along, amen? And in order to pray about an orange, well, that lady knew that would help her to feel better, amen, about the seasickness. I appreciate the Lord, don't you? Lord, teach us to pray. The approach to the throne of grace, the purpose is to pray that God's will would be done. Let's look here at the appeal to the throne of grace. I want you to see just several things here in this area. Number one, there was an appeal for food. Give us day by day our daily bread. I just want to say something. Listen to me carefully. I'm not trying to be derogatory, but I believe in America, Christians were a lot closer to God when the cupboards weren't nearly so full. Somebody help me, amen? I can remember as a kid, Brother Aaron, I can remember Mom sending me next door to borrow a couple slices of cheese, or to borrow, beloved, listen, a stick of butter, or to borrow a couple of eggs, or to borrow a cup of cornmeal. Mom didn't drive. Mom didn't have a car. Mom didn't have a job. My dad was in Baltimore working. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we were poor, but we didn't know it. Ain't that wonderful? Amen. We were happy on the farm. Amen. Once in a while, somebody will leave a door open and they'll say, "Was you raised in a barn?" I can say yes. The old house was made into a barn, was made into a house. Amen. My dad fixed it up when I was in elementary school. I was ashamed because people had swimming pools in their backyard and lived in big, fine houses. If I had it to do over again, I'd have brought the whole class to the farm and showed them what Daddy done. Amen. And how that we lived. There was a trough all the way around the kitchen where they used to feed the mules. Amen. And Mom had the trough decorated up real nice. Amen. I'm just telling you, we were a lot better off when we didn't has so much, pulling us away from the throne of grace. Amen. Beloved, here in the Word of God, teach us to pray. There's the approach to the throne of grace. Look at the appeal to the throne of grace. The Bible said here, there's an appeal for food, the necessary things. Give us day by day, not week by week, not month by month, but give us this day our daily bread. I believe, listen, that we're living in a generation where we're taking a lot for granted. Amen. And the Bible's teaching us here about prayer that there needs to be an appeal. Not only an appeal for food, but watch this. There's an appeal for forgiveness. The Bible said right here, give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sin. Oh, you say, "Preacher, I don't ever have to do that." Well, good for you. Somebody teach me how you can get by, amen, day after day and week after week and never have to ask God to forgive you, amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen,
We're deceiving ourselves if we think we're getting through this world, amen, day by day and day after day and week after week, and we don't need the forgiveness of God. Oh, I want to repeat it again. It's one of the greatest statements I've ever heard from the pulpit. Brother Billy said, if you've ever repented, you're still repenting. And I love that statement, amen. If you've ever one time come to the Lord and been saved by the grace of God, you'll find yourself over and over and over and over having to say, oh, God, it's me again. Forgive me. Amen. And let me just throw this out there. This one here won't cost you a dime. We're wasting our breath to ask God to forgive us if there's somebody we need to ask to forgive us and we refuse to do it. We're wasting our breath. Amen. Have you come to that altar and you realize your brother has all? Jesus said, just get up. Go to your brother. First be reconciled to your brother. He said, then come offer your gift. Amen. Is that Bible? That's Bible. Amen. There's an appeal to the throne of grace. Appeal for food. There's an appeal for forgiveness. And then there's an appeal for his favor. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look here what he says. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I'm going to tell you something. We need God to smile on us. We need his favor. And beloved, listen, we need him to protect us. Somebody say amen. I said to the men a little while back, and I mean this with all my heart, be careful. We're living in a generation right now, I believe it's dangerous. Beloved, you should never, men, you should never allow yourself to even get in a compromising situation, because it looks like, beloved, all you got to do is say it and the whole world believes it anymore. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I believe, listen, we're in a mess when people are running around saying, I believe this or I believe that, and they haven't even heard the story yet. Amen. If you'll stay up on the news, you'll find out that a whole lot of the story just don't line up. Amen. Beloved, we need God to protect us. We need God to help us. And we need his favor as we walk through this journey of life. There's an appeal to the throne of grace. There's an appeal for forgiveness, an appeal for his favor, appeal for food, the necessary things in life. Now let me give you this tonight and I'm done. Let's look at the answer from the throne of grace. You say, preacher, what do you see here concerning the answer? How many believes God answers prayer? You know, the Bible said over there in the book of James to ask in faith. A double-minded man, don't let that man think he's going to receive anything of the Lord. Amen? We're supposed to ask in faith. According to 1 John chapter 5, we're supposed to ask according to his will. We're supposed to ask in his name. Let me just give you something, beloved. Listen, that pastor come back from Turkey. Now, I know that it would be a high-pressure situation. He was in the Oval Office. But before that pastor left, he wanted to pray for the president of the United States. He prayed that God would give him the spirit of wisdom, that God would lead him. But I'm going to just say this. When he got done, he said, in Jesus' name. And I about come unglued. Can I tell you something, beloved? Lock it or lump it. Listen, I ain't trying to be smart, but that's the only prayer he hears anyway. It's the prayer that comes out in the name of Jesus, our Lord, amen, and our Savior. Oh, beloved, there's a lot of generic gods in the world, little G-O-D-S's. But Jesus is the Lord of glory. Amen. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible said. What a blessing to know that tonight. There's an answer. Let me give you several things. Number one, the answer comes through persistence. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look in verse 5, please. He said, which of you have a friend shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. That sounds like mama sending us next door. For a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And Jesus is making a point here in a parable. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door's now shut. My children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. You know, he's saying, listen, it's late. Man, we've already went to bed. The door's already shut. Don't bother me with this. And listen, because he's his friend, he didn't get an answer. Watch, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. The answer comes through persistence. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. The Bible is teaching us here. You say, well, preacher, God's not deaf. He heard me the first time. I know that. He knows what we need even before we ask. I know that too. Amen? But I'm going to tell you something. God in prayer is trying to teach us patience. He's trying to teach us that not only does the answer come through persistence, but the answer comes through patience, through being willing to wait on the Lord. The Bible said down here, in the end, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Beloved, I want you to know tonight, the answer comes through persistence. The answer comes through patience. But the answer comes also through preciseness. In other words, asking God specifically for what you need. The Bible said here, if any man ask bread of his father, would he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, would he give him a serpent? If he were to ask for an egg, would he offer him a scorpion? I dare Miss Eve to try that with the babies. What do y'all want for breakfast? Pancakes. I dare you to set eggs down instead of pancakes. The kids know what pancakes are. Amen? I dare you to set sausage down when they wanted bacon. Amen? In other words, they know what they want. They even know the differences in the cereal. Can y'all believe that? You can't give them Cheerios if they want Fruit Loops. Amen? And the Bible said, which of you? Now listen, God wants us to ask. You know, it's one thing to just say, well, God bless all the missionaries out there. And that's better than nothing, I reckon. But I bet you somebody was praying for you, Brother Ben, when you was trying to learn Chinese. If I were to ever learn it, it would be hillbilly Chinese. I guarantee it. Amen. I went to Mexico and learned just a little bit in the Spanish language. Hillbilly Spanish. That's what I comprende. Si, si, señor. That's what they would say. And John 3:16 is what I learned. Used it in the federal prisons. Had a big Spanish population in the federal prison. They said they understood it. Now, if they were lying to me, I don't know. But they said they understood it. But I guarantee you wanted somebody praying specifically. God help Brother Ben to learn the Chinese language. Amen? Because he needed help. Anybody that's going to learn another language needs help. Amen? And God wants to help him that he might be able to communicate with those precious people. Dr. Helen Rosevere, a missionary to Zaire, she told the following story. She said, a mother at our mission station died after giving birth to a premature baby. We tried to improvise an incubator to keep the infant alive, but the only hot water bottle we had was beyond repair. So we asked the children to pray for the baby and for her sister. One of the girls responded, dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late, because by then the baby will be dead. And dear Lord, send a doll for the sister, so she won't feel so lonely. I tell you, we could learn a lot from kids. Say amen right there. Listen to what happened. That afternoon, a large package arrived from England. The children watched eagerly as we opened it. Much to their surprise, under some clothing was a hot water bottle. Immediately, the girl who had prayed so earnestly started to dig deeper, exclaiming, if God sent the water bottle, surely he sent the doll. And she was right. Her heavenly Father knew in advance of the child's sincere request, and 5 months earlier, he had led a ladies' group to include both of those specific articles. I believe God answers prayer, don't you? Stories are told, Brother Larry, you've probably read them, of George Mueller setting those children down in that children's home and thanking God for a meal that wasn't on the table. You've read it, surely you have. Surely it blesses your heart that somebody by faith could sit down with a bunch of children and thank God for the food that's not on the table, only to hear the knock at the door. Because somebody had it in their heart to help those dear children. I've told this before, I must tell it again. My grandfather would roll up his pants legs. He would take off his shoes. He would take off his socks. How many of you all know what it means to ford the river? How many of you have no idea what it means to ford the river? Now somebody be honest with me. There wasn't many hands went up a while ago. If I said wade the river, you would understand. That's what they called it, just ford the river. Just you get in the shallow part, the shoals usually, and go across. He'd take off his shoes, take off his socks, roll up his britchy legs, and wade the river. Go on the other side, take out his handkerchief, dry his feet off, put his socks back on, put his shoes back on, and he was going to preach, Brother Aaron. He was walking to and from church after church out in the country, mile after mile. But the first thing he had to do and the last thing coming home was ford the river to get back to the house. He said, God, I don't mind doing this, but how long? How long do you want me to do this? Lord, I'll do it as long as you want me to, but how long? Grandpa said several months went by, and two businessmen pulled up on a Saturday morning, and I think it was a Model A. I could be wrong about that. It might have been a Model T, but it was one of the old cars. Two businessmen pulled up, walked up on the porch, knocked on the screen door, and said, John, we don't know why we're doing this, but there's the car, here's the keys, and the insurance is paid, and it's got tags on it. My grandfather looked up towards heaven and said, I know why you're doing this. I'm telling you, beloved, that same God's still sitting on the throne tonight. That same God cares just as much about you and I as he did about my grandpa. Say amen. That same God is still answering prayer. And beloved, when we're praying for our unsaved loved ones, we don't need to give up. Let's be persistent. Let's just keep on praying. One good thing about praying for lost people is you're always praying in the will of God. I promise you that. It's God's will for them to be saved by the grace of God. Beloved, listen tonight. Teach us to pray. That's what his disciples said. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to be patient. Don't let us get in too big a hurry and run by the blessing. The Bible said in verse number 1, it came to pass that he was, as he was praying in a certain place, when he stopped, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. I leave you with this tonight. I really, in my heart, believe this. I believe if we were to gather around like we have at times in a circle here around the altar, and I believe, Brother David, if our Lord would walk through those doors back there and bend his knee right in the middle of that circle and begin to pray, oh, he might pray some things we wouldn't appreciate because he knows our very hearts. Say amen. He knows, that's what always blew their mind. He knew what they was thinking. But I'll guarantee you, when he got done, there might be one or two or three or four or 50 or 60 or 70 would say, Lord, teach us to pray. I believe when the disciples walked with him the way they did and they heard him the way they did in that certain place the way they did, something was sparked down inside of them. That they knew, Brother Ralph, that there was an area in their life they were slack. Anybody with me tonight? That area was the area of prayer. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. As far as I can see in the Bible, there's two things the disciples ask for. One, they said, Lord, increase our faith. And they go hand in hand. Somebody wrote a book one time, or preached a message maybe. The title of it was The Atheism of Prayerlessness. When we're prayerless, what we're really doing is, with our actions, we're saying, we don't believe God. We don't believe God. Brother Aaron, there had to be times when you were under the attack of the enemy, when you prayed for your little 10-year-old boy. There had to be times when the enemy said, you're wasting your breath. But I guarantee you something else happened that day. The doctor said, son, go on, play football if you want to. Amen. We're not wasting our breath when we're approaching the throne of grace. I promise you that tonight. We're not wasting our breath praying for our president, praying for those in authority. That's what the Bible instructed us to do. Praying for our nation. Amen. Get this, praying for our enemies. We're not wasting our breath. That's exactly what God wants us to do. How many is glad you come tonight? How many can say with me, Lord, teach us to pray. You ready? Lord, teach us to pray. Wednesday night's verse, y'all remember that? How many is here Wednesday night? Amen. How many remembers the verse? Brother Jim Cable's going to lead us. Remember, Brother Jim? I told you, brother, amen, you better get ready. Here we go. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. What is that? Jeremiah 33:3, isn't it? Okay, some of you just got on board. Let's go again. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. How many believes our God can do that? He can do that. He wants to do that. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer tonight. Let's stand together.